Greetings to tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thankful to be here with each one of you again. And I guess Brother Daniels, I was honored to have you open. And I'm glad the Lord worked it out the way He did. So, thank you. Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, we come before you here in the name of Jesus. Quiet our hearts, Lord. We pray that you would thank you for what we already heard here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the clear word of some who declared plainly that they seek a better country. And Lord, they could have returned if they would have wanted to. But they set their gaze like a flint. And they weren't turning around. We bless and praise you for that here this evening. We pray that you would continue to watch over our brother and his family as they continue to go across the country and here before long, back across the waters. The big bathtub, Father, over there to Africa again. We pray that you would prosper the work of their hands and give them souls for their labor. And fruit, Father, that will last to eternity. Oh, Lord, we pray. And Father, here we are this evening. We again seek your face for your wisdom, your understanding, your leading, your guiding. Father, you know that you would have your way. And Lord, we would not get in the way of what you want to do here tonight. Lord, we surrender our lives into your hands. And Lord, we pray that you would give us peace and rest. And Lord, through that, walk forward in faith like we heard earlier. We trust you for these things here this evening. In the name of Jesus, amen. You pray for me tonight, because we were going to talk about perpetual Christianity. Christianity is perpetual, and it's going on, but in that process, the Lord brought some other things, and I don't feel I'm prepared. And so you bear with me and pray here tonight, and we'll see what God's Word has for us as we look into His Word. One of the things in perpetual Christianity and looking out across your faces here this evening, being with you the last couple nights, some of you only here for the first time, but being with you, our hearts open up and we say with Paul, how what he said to the Philippian church when he said there in Philippians 4 verse 1, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And knowing the where a lot of you come from and where your desire to follow Christ, your desire to follow Jesus with everything you have, no strings attached, still knowing the background and also knowing the thing of being in traditions and the thing of wanting to run from those things sometimes, make it that we run right over into the other ditch, right into the world. And here we are, we have a burden to serve God. Here we are, we have a burden to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have all these verses in the Scriptures that talk about the world. And tonight we want to read some of them. And hopefully the Lord can give us some direction out of here. As our brother was talking about coming out of that world, there were ones that have went before that did the same thing. And they declared plainly that they seek a better country. And they declared plainly that they were strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. And they were looking for a better country. The reason why we come to one of these points was because this is one of the points in perpetual Christianity. We'll find that out probably tomorrow night. But God's desire is that we're not going to be one generation Christians. And then in a year from now, or 5 years from now, our children made a circle and they're right back where we came from and even worse. That's not God's heart. And so that's why the burden for this message here this evening. Now there's a thing of tradition and you're going to have to come tomorrow night to see what the Bible says about that. We're not going to be going there tonight, and the Bible has things to say about that. And tomorrow night we'll talk about those things. But tonight, we want to see what the world is. And we can say with a calm assurance, with a conviction, with God writing on our hearts that I'm finished with the world. The Bible says these words to us in James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's what the Bible says. It also says, one page over, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. That's not our word here tonight. That's what the Bible says. And with sobering verses like that, we also have this verse over here in 1 John chapter 2 that tells you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what the Bible says. And with sobering verses like that, we should study into the Bible and see what the Bible's saying so we are clear of the world. And with coming from many different backgrounds and God putting different ones together in a body, how do we find our way through this maze of what would be the world? Now, we're going to shift gears here a little bit and turn over to Hebrews 8. It tells us here in Hebrews 8, verse 6, now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. But how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Tonight we're living in that new covenant. And tonight it's a better covenant, and it's established upon better promises. For if the first covenant hath been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And here's where I don't think we wrap our minds about what this Bible is saying. Because I'm appalled at how many people today have no conviction. There's no conviction in the heart. And there's no guiding principle. There's no guiding inner light to guide and direct them as they live. But the Bible says here, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I'll write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. No principle. There's a song that says, I want a principle within. And today, there's no principle. We say we get born again. We say we get washed in the blood. And then, on down the road, here comes the world right into the church. And we use, I don't have it with me, I don't, we. There's a poem out there that talks about the world and the church. They walked down the road, and they were separate, and the world was asking for the church's pure white hand, and she wouldn't give it. But as time went on, she slid over there, and she slid over there a little farther, and soon she was giving her hand a little bit, and soon she was giving her hand a little more, and soon the world got her little finger, and next it was her hand, and then it had it. And if God is writing on His law in our hearts, why is that happening? If we are living in the new covenant and God will be writing on our hearts, then why is that happening? That should not be happening. That the world, we're giving our pure hand, the church, we're giving that hand to the world. That should not be happening. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He will write His law in our hearts. Now tells us here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some others epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts. And tonight, brothers and sisters, we are the only Bible that many people are going to see. We're the only Bible. And it tells us here that the Corinthians were our epistle written. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. See, when we get converted, what happens is we have this heart of stone. Actually, if you turn over to turn over to Ezekiel 36. It'll show us here a prophecy of what will happen in the new dispensation. What's going to happen under the new covenant? Verse 21 in Ezekiel 36. But I have pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. Why did God save you? For His holy name's sake. That's why He saved you. You are not your own. We said that one other night. Ye are bought with a price, the Bible tells us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe. Or 6. But He says here, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Praise the Lord! What a beautiful word! What a beautiful promise that our brother was talking about a little bit earlier. A promise that people can stand on. A promise that people can embrace. And here's a promise that God wants to sanctify us before the heathen. Is that what's happening in your life? Or are you becoming like the heathen? And today, the testimony is not black and white, and there's no clarity, and God is not sanctifying you before their eyes anymore. I will take you from among the heathen, verse 24, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. But he says here, see, what before conversion, what's happening is we have this stony heart. And we have this old heart. And we have the spirit of the flesh. He says here he's going to take out the stony heart. He's going to take out the heart of flesh. Our own flesh. Stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now over here in 2 Corinthians 3, what we want to see is God is not writing on tables of stone like He did back in the Old Testament, but He's writing on not fleshly. He's writing on fleshy. See what happens when God takes out the stony heart and He puts in His heart. When God takes out the stones, He gives us a heart of flesh. And what He wants to start doing is writing on there. What He wants to start doing is putting His principles on there. And what He wants to start doing is putting His precepts on there. So that the Holy Spirit can teach you. It tells you in John 15 that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead you. But today we're so scared. We come out of tradition. We come out of, quote, law. Tonight we're not going there. So we're so scared of this that God can't write on our principles and precepts on our hearts. And here we are, embracing the things of the world. And we're becoming the friend of the world. And that, God says, is enmity with God. That's an enemy of God. And such, verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As God continues to write these things on our hearts, why, then it makes us undone. And we see that we're not sufficient. So we come to God daily, and He gives us His sufficiency, and we're able to go forward. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And I think that's where we goof. We are scared of the law, so we don't use great plainness of speech. And dads, be at rest that you can use great plainness of speech as you train your children. Be at rest that you can use great plainness of speech as you guide your young people. And churches. We'll find more out about this Sunday morning. But churches, you can use great plainness of speech as well. And that's what a brotherhood is for. To be able to discern what God, where God wants us to go in this wicked and perverse nation. To be able to, constantly go back into the Old Testament, and if we don't have the Spirit, and just write the letter, and we don't have the Spirit of God working and moving and writing things in our heart, all that does is the letter kills. But the Spirit, it gives life. When we have been converted, when we have been washed in the blood, when our tables of stone have been taken out, and we have fleshy tables, and God is able to work through us by His Spirit, that gives life. And some of these things, when we discern what is the world, the things can have life. Seeing then that we use such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And tonight, that's what God wants to do in each one of our hearts and lives. He wants us to, that we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And we're made into the image of His Son. Praise the Lord. So here, this evening, continue to go to the Lord. Continue to seek Him for life. Jesus is our life. And go to Him. And with an open face, as God convicts, as God shares, you open your heart, you open your life, then you can continue to behold the Lord Jesus and continue to be changed into His image. Thank the Lord tonight. The veil is done away in Christ. Looking there, back there in the Leviticus here these last couple weeks, having that veil there between the holiest of holies and the holy place. Tonight, that veil is done away. And we can enter into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. And that's through Jesus Christ. So here tonight, continue to go forth in the Spirit as you minister to the lost and dying. And trust the Spirit of the Lord to be working in hearts and lives. Now, getting back to the world. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We see here that there is a form of godliness. but people are denying the power thereof. So don't turn away from the form of godliness, but if they're denying the power, you turn from that. How do you know it's godliness? But he tells us here that in the last days, men are going to be self-centered. Lovers of their own self. And in the last days, it's going to be dangerous. They're going to be materialistic. They're going to be boasters, always talking about themselves. They're going to be proud. And they're going to be blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. What is holiness? But it's, and the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1, be ye holy, for I am holy. And what is that? But being separated from the world, from your flesh, from the devil, and set apart for the Lord's purposes. That's what holiness is. Today they're going to be unholy. They're going to be without natural affection. And that's so true. The way these people have pets these days and lift them up as children is this unreal. How there's this, they're without natural affection. God has put a natural affection in our lives to appreciate our brothers and sisters, to appreciate family. That's a natural affection. And then you have these people that come with their pets. And lift them up as children and hold them as high as children without natural affection. They're going to be true speakers. They're not going to stick to their word. And as soon as they hear something, they're going to be false accusers. They're going to be incontinent. And that means without self-control. And they're going to be fierce. And they're going to be despisers of those that are good. That's exactly right too. People that are despising people that are good. They're going to be traitors. They're going to be heady. And that's exactly what it means. You can't tell them nothing. They're heady. It's not a heart of flesh. Stones in there instead. High-minded. Thinking more of themselves what they ought to. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 21. Pure religion, verse 27, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And here tonight, here's the definition of world. It's the decoration, and it's the adorning of. That's what the world is. That's the Strong's Concordance. This other one, this other definition I have is the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire, seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. So here tonight there are some things that that's the way it is. They're hollow, they're frail, they're fleeting, but still they stir desire. They seduce from God, and they are obstacles to the cross of Christ. And tonight, that is the world. And so, friend here, use that. I'm not going to say a bunch of things here tonight, but use that. Brothers, when it's time to go to the store and buy something, use that as a test. Use it as something to be a filter before you buy your car, you buy your shoes and sunglasses and whatever else all, use it, because you do not want to be part of the world. And tonight, there in 1 John 1, 1 John 2, it tells us. I know people say it's only the heart. People say all it is the heart. But 1 John 2 blows that right out of the window. Because it tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the heart. Don't say that. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if you have the love of the world in you, guaranteed the love of the Father is not in you. Now let's look at this. The lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? It's no different than what Eve was tempted with. And it's no different. I'm not sure if I can get this together here with Eve. The serpent said unto Eve, chapter 3, verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And there we see it says it was pleasant to the eyes. And as your sister sit down at the sewing machine, use this. As you go to the material store, use this to be a filter when you are going forward. So that God can guide you and you're not an enemy of God. It's the same too as what came to Jesus. It's no different. Same thing. Matthew chapter 4. The devil came to Jesus with these same things. Lust of the flesh. He answered in verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Lust of the flesh. Now turn with me over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Tells us here at this, verse 17. Brethren, be fellows together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Serious words. Sobering words. An enemy of the cross of Christ. Here it is again. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, lust of the eyes. Passion is fueling your purchases and your decisions. Passion, lust of the flesh, is what's fueling your choices. If that is what's happening, you've got the world in you, and you're an enmity with God. Lust of the flesh. God is their belly. Okay, next it says, Lust of the flesh. And we talked some about that last night. Purity. And being able to be free. And dear sisters tonight, particularly, you have no idea how the body of a woman stirs a man. And the thing for modesty in the Scriptures is no little thing. And here tonight, covering up your body and not making it that it's form-fitting and making sure that your legs are covered and making sure that the flesh of the material does not draw the eye, you're helping the brothers in this thing of the lust of the flesh. And it's a serious thing. The world on some of these things. And it's no little thing. Same with you, brothers. We have, likewise, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2, we cover our bodies to glorify the Lord Jesus. And we're making sure we're not helping anybody lust. These are serious things. These things are not in the Bible here just to take up space. But they're here to guide and direct us and keep us so we do not go out into this world and we are free and we are... Because that's pure religion. The Bible tells us. Pure religion. Unspotted from the world. Now, lust of the eyes. Also this thing of the lust of the flesh. And now it tells us here in... God is their belly. In Philippians chapter 2. And the devil, he takes these things and we watch it. These road signs that we see going down the road, there's three. He's going after, they're geared towards three things. They're geared towards your passions. They're geared towards sex. And they're geared toward materialism. You watch. That's what advertising is geared for. And we steer clear of those things. Now he tells us lust of the eyes. And over here he tells us in Philippians chapter 2, glory is in their shame. My dear people, we are holy. We are set apart. For the cause of Jesus, He has saved us, we've seen there in Ezekiel 36, to glorify His holy name. And here it says we glory in our shame. And my dear friend, here tonight, our bodies are a holy thing. And they're shameful to everyone except in the right place for God. But other than that, they're shameful. And here we are, glorying in the shame. God have mercy on our souls. This is serious stuff. I'm just amazed how the Christian world suns themselves in the summertime. Because they're glorying in their shame. Why should these things be named among the people of God? Why should they? Lust of the eyes. Dear brothers, keep your eyes. Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. I will not look on a maid to lust after. I think that's how it says it. Job 33. No, verse 31. Chapter 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Jesus takes him up into the holy city and setteth him on a penny temple and said, cast yourself down. He'll give his angels charge over thee concerning thee, and all, and in their hands they'll bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Exactly right. Lust of the eyes. Dear people, possession. It can go beyond just sex, and it can go to possession. Lust of the eyes. Serious thing. We see it, we want it. And the Bible calls that covetousness. And we want to be steer clear. Now he tells us the pride of life. And that's what he did there with Jesus. Took him up into a mountain and showed him all the things of the world. Position. I don't have to say much. Just when you're making your decisions, you're making your choices in life, choose the low road. Just choose the humble way. Just choose the something that's not going to stand out and bring attention to yourself. Matthew. Let's see if we can find this. Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Talking about the parable of the field, tells us in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. They're worried about the world. Try and keep up with the Joneses. Deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And then we also have in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is he going to give the world? Is he going to give the world in exchange for his soul? What are you? What are you tonight going to give that the next generation is going to slide right out into the world? And there's no burden for the lost. There's no burden for the souls of men anymore. There's no burden that God will take more people, and like Ezekiel 36 said, and change them for His sake, for His glory. Turn to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Cross-bearing life. And that's what our brother was talking about there in Hebrews 10. They declare plainly that they seek for a country. And especially in that lust of the flesh. I have the same struggles. Well, all three of them. They come to me as much as they probably do to you. And I have to have it settled in your heart before you go. If you need something that you're going to choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be also, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. She was full of the world. Her heart was full of the world. When it was time to leave Lot, when it was time to leave Sodom, when it was time to get out of there, she was full of the world. Her heart was with the stuff. And what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. The same thing will happen to each one of us, dear people, dear friends and brothers and sisters. If the stuff on this world, on this earth, has our heart, we're going to turn into a pillar of salt. What happens when you're a pillar of salt? There you sit. You can't be a testimony. You can't be an encouragement to nobody. There you sit. When you want to reach out to the lost, you're a pillar of salt. Could have taken this message tonight and also put a title on the top. Remember, Lot's wife. She turned into a pillar of salt. Dear friend, if your heart is full of the world, you will turn into a pillar of salt as well. And tonight, it starts. That's where it starts. It told us there in 1 John 2 that there's things. But dear friend, it starts in the heart. And if the heart is hankering, if the heart is full, if the heart wants to say, I'm free. Dear friend, you're free all right if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for sure, but turn to Galatians chapter 5. You are free in Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus makes you free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Then don't turn again back into bondage. Galatians chapter 5. Sorry. One page over. Brethren, verse 13. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what God set you free for. He set you free so you can serve your brother and sister. He set you free so you can serve your neighbors. He set you free so you can serve a lost and dying world. He didn't set you free to use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. He didn't. He set you free so that you can be filled with God's love, like we heard on Wednesday night, and then serve. Praise the name of the Lord. That's the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. Not the liberty to do as you please. Brother made mention of that. I think the Lord sits up there in heaven. He's so grieved tonight. He looks down on some. They're taking this liberty. And they're Let's see here if we can find this other verse. Jude 4, I'm not sure if this is the one. Jude 4 here says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." They take the grace of God and say, "Now we're free," and instead they turn a license instead for lasciviousness. That's allowing sin, unbridled lust. Now, go to Titus 2. Go to Titus chapter 2. Sobering verses. The Bible's packed full. What does the Bible tell us here in Titus chapter 2 verse 12? If we understand the grace of God. In Titus chapter 2 verse 12 it tells us, teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what the grace of God will do. It brings you out of worldly lust. It brings you out of ungodliness. And then it teaches you how to live soberly, righteously, which is right living, and godly in this present world. That's what true grace does. It brings you out of ungodliness. It brings you out of worldly lust. And you can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Just because this chapter's been abused, it's still in the Bible. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice," that's alive, quickened, "living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world." What does that mean? It means that the world takes you and sticks you in its mold. Or you have a bag. Sometimes when you go to the store, you get these bags of oranges. And all it is a flat bag. You fill that thing up with oranges, and it's got a form when it's all done. The world has something that it's this age, this present age that we're living in, has a design, and it's wanting to try and get you and stick you into that form. It's wanting to stick you into its mold. And here tonight it tells us instead to don't get stuck in that mold, but instead that you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And our brother said it last night, approving things that are excellent. And here says it again, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that tonight, dear brother, sister, is over the whole manner of life. Your whole manner of life. God wants you to be making choices and decisions that are being lining up with the Word. Not that you're saying, "I'm free now," and you just throw it all to the wind. Whatever comes down the pike, we accept. And dear friend, I believe with all of my heart, this is why we need the brotherhood today. To be able, because we are not an island. We are not out on an island somewhere all by ourselves. But we need one another to help one another. And some of us just got converted. And some of us have been converted for 30 years. And we need each other. And my dear brother, we can say one to another, "That was part of the world for me and I want nothing to do with it. I want to be clear." And you can teach one another and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Our brother was in there a little earlier. Hebrews chapter 11. And now we're going to just go down a couple more verses to our dear friend Moses. Tells us here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Here, Moses had the choice, had the opportunity to stick with Egypt or choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We all know what Moses did. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. And instead of enjoying all the good things of Egypt, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect to the reward. He knew what was coming, and he chose, like our brother said tonight, if people would come in this door and we would shut the doors and they would say we're going to start, we would choose to suffer. We would esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Can we make that choice on Wednesday afternoon when we have to make a choice? When we're out there, we have a choice to make, and it's going to be either God or Satan, the world or the flesh, or is it going to be godliness? What are we going to do? Are we going to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, like our friend Moses? Now turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. You ought to, the whole chapter series. We don't have time tonight to go over the whole chapter, but we want to start in verse 19. Talking here about false prophets, false teachers, he says in verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. Dear friend, this is serious. For if, after ye have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mare. There you have it. That's why today, if you are living in revival, and we have it down through history, you've had pictures of this here in a leadership seminar, you have pictures of this right over here in a church not far from here, who was once on fire, and today they've slid right out there. You can't tell them from the world there's no fire. These verses are being fulfilled right before our eyes. We have these things are happening right in front of us. If you're living in revival, if God has bringing you out and taken out your stony heart, and He's put a fleshy heart there that He wants to write principles on, and you're taking that and saying, I'm free, and you're using your liberty for an occasion to the flesh instead of serving others. Careful. If you've escaped the pollutions of the world and you're entangled again therein, the end of you is going to be worse than it was at the beginning. And dear friend here tonight, I know some of these things. The business world can wrap you up. And when I was, before I got converted, I knew what I had to do so that I could fit in and be somebody in the business world. Style, color, casual way of doing things, and you can fit right in there and be a friend. That's not what God wants. And once He delivered, I had a garbage bag full of casual living, casual dress that I threw in a barrel right like this one night. Daniel, you might remember. These things, dear people, are serious. If you promise them liberty and you're a servant of corruption, what you are overcome with is what you're in bondage to. And we'll look tonight here a little bit, just a bit, how we can be overcome with something that'll be far better than the world and casual living and all these things that make us fit right in. And we can slide right in there and be a friend. And there's no showing that we're pilgrims and strangers, brother. If we've escaped the pollutions of the world and we're again entangled therein and overcome, it would have been better that we had not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. There it is. You say, back in the 50s, there was revival burning in different places. Today they're trying to grapple with is same-sex marriages right or wrong? How can you fall that far, you say? This verse here tells us. It's a prophecy. And it'll happen to each one of us if we're not careful. We have to be on our guard. And we have to be able to make our choices and our decisions and hold them up to what the Bible says about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we have to also lift the Bible up to the Bible, and is it going to be something that we can by occasion serve our flesh, or this choice we make, we can use it to serve others. Dear friend, don't escape the pollutions of the world and get entangled back in them again. It's like a web of a thing, of a spider. Don't do it, my dear friend. Because once people go down that road, very seldom they come back. You don't see many people that were once revived, and today there's no testimony. Very seldom you ever see them live in revival again. Very seldom you ever see them on fire for God again. Very seldom they ever come out and say we got pseudo-grace. And dear people here tonight, it's serious business. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And here's where we'll end. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, or you're supposed to be, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Praise the name of the Lord. There's your answer. Be filled with Jesus Christ. Be in love with Him. Set your affections. What is affections? It's what interests you. That's all. What interests you tonight? Is it the flesh? Is it the world? Or is it Christ? set your affections on things above. Okay, I have this thing in my hand now. Well, here. I set that cup there. That's what it means. Take your affections, set them on things above and take your hands off. And don't be trying to fool with this thing and pull them back down, your affections, and that they sit and rest on the earth. But the thing that interests you, you put it on things above and take your hands off and leave it there. Instead of, oh, my affection, there goes that, I don't know, there's, the sky's the limit on what you could say. But there goes something, a lust of the eye. Oh, I got my affection. No, keep them affections up there on things above, because you're risen with Christ. Seek those things that are important. Don't be setting your affections down here on this earth, because we're supposed to be dead. And here tonight, if casual living comes down the road, if there's a dead person in a coffin, what happens? If alcohol or something like that comes down through, he stays laying there dead as a board. He don't get up, and he was an alcoholic all of his life and start hankering after this thing again. No, he don't. And dear friend here this evening, it's the same with the world. And I think a lot of yous know what the world is. So what if you were in a church? So what? You knew what your flesh longed after. You knew what your flesh gravitated towards. You knew. Be, and then dear friend, like I said the other night, I don't think the devil's going to come. And he's going to hit you with temptations of full-blown alcoholism. Where he's going to start is right here, in the world. He gets you that you're not alert in this area, and your eye is just on law, you say, and you're not scared of the world. Here's where he gets you, and by all means, this is where he gets the next generation. That's why many churches don't get beyond the next generation. And that's why I believe the Lord wanted us to go here first. Because the God wants the Christianity to be perpetual. And that means to be ongoing. That means to not be stopping at one generation. But right here is where He gets us. And we don't pass it on to the next generation, dads and moms. Young people don't catch the vision. And the next generation turns into a pillar of salt. And Ichabod we have again. The glory of the Lord departs. And some other God has to do another work of grace to make this thing clear again. Friend, let's don't let our Lord Jesus down. He is depending on us. We have a charge. It's our turn to serve this present age. Our calling to fulfill. Who made all our powers engage to do our Master's will. Whatever we can to push the kingdom of God forward. To be able to be a testimony of grace that's serving others. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father in heaven, We pause here before you this evening in the name of Jesus. Lord. Once there was the world and the church walking far apart. The church was pure and holy. She was spotless. And she was clean. Little by little, Lord, the world come up to her and offered her hand. And little by little, she got a little closer. And little by little, Lord, the church left down her guards. And little by little, Father, they got closer and closer together. Till one day, Lord, the world had the finger of the church. And before you knew it, He had her. Totally. Father, if we get set free and we get entangled with the world, the latter end of us is going to be worse than it was at the beginning. And I pray, oh Lord, oh God, I pray that this thing would grip us parents especially, ministers of the gospel, grip our hearts. Because, Lord, You didn't save us so we can serve ourselves. No, Lord, You saved us so we can serve You by serving others. That's what You've done. Lord, I pray. Bless the next generation. Bless the dear young people. Let them learn how to open their hearts to God. And let Him write His precepts. That's what happens in the new covenant. We're not a free floater now and we just are out there with no principles. Wrote on our hearts. And we go all over the place and there's no principles to guide us. That is not the new covenant. The new covenant is you take your principles and your precepts. And you write them on our hearts. And God, when it's time to make a decision, we have that inner conscience, alert and awake, and it's not dull. And Lord, we set our face like a flint. And Father, through that, God, we make choices that God, the heathen, can see we've been taken out from Him. And You want to do the same. It's what Ezekiel 36 tells us. Father, bless each one here. Lord, we don't set ourselves up. We're in the flesh. We're down here on this earth too. God, we have these temptations also. And Father, we need this Word wrote on our own hearts, Father, so that we don't fall. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would keep the enemy from each life, Father. And Lord, each one, God, if You don't come back for 100 years, there could be a church, young people that have got the vision, and they pass it on to their children, and then the children's children. And we'll see that tomorrow night, Father. But Lord, we are able to be in heaven, and the family circle is complete.